everybody, and welcome to this week's NPL show, the official radio show, stroke download, stroke podcast, if you will, dedicated to the Northern Premier League. And coming up on this week's show, we're going to be catching up with more clubs who are doing some cracking work at the moment in their communities. We're going to be talking to Marine in a second or two. We're also going to be talking about the fantastic offer from Bamber Bridge to NHS workers. That interview coming up with Brian Ginty, chairman of Bamber Bridge, shortly. We're also going to be talking to Richard Kane, chairman of Gainsborough Trinity. And later in the show, we're going to be talking to Trafford SC about their new stand, as well as virtual football matches, but with an old school twist. That's coming up later in the show. But before that, we're going to kick things off talking about Marine in the community. The community arm of Marine is doing a brilliant job at the moment, delivering lunches to elderly people in the local community around Marine. And for more on this, I caught up with one of the directors at Marine in the community. Here's Graham Gardner.
We as a club have been sort of like established as a community partner for Marine and the Crosby area now for just over a year. And we've tried to really embrace the community in as many ways as we can. And one of the areas was making sure we done a review with the people, talked to the people, and we set up a community cafe, which was something that the people were looking for. And this community cafe has just gone from strength to strength then. And we started with about 15 to 20, and recently we were getting over 50 people to turn up every Wednesday for our community cafe. But with it, there was a bit more than just come and have a cup of coffee. We provided free lunches for the people that come along. We had local singers who would come along and sing for free. One of our star acts was a guy called Elvis, who was brilliant. And then we even engaged into doing exercises for them, chair exercises and bingos and all sorts. So basically, it was a real big plus. And then, obviously, just as we're really flying, this obviously terrible thing comes along, COVID and the coronavirus, and it shuts us down like everywhere else. And so we're sitting there one day and we said, well, you know what? Let's take the cafe to the people. And that's what we've done. So I sat down with some of our volunteers, Colin Mitchell, Radfield Home Care, Dave and Lynn, who both run that, who were very supportive with our group, James, the chairman, and we said, can we do that? And so we agreed to it. And we had the numbers and the addresses of our more elderly and vulnerable people, and we got together. And every week now we take out a packed lunch to them with a substantial lunch, with cakes and chocolates and scones, but also we put quiz questions in, but also we work with Sefton Council on this as well. And Nigel from Sefton CVS said, here's all our information. But what we've done, we've done it in phone numbers, because I think a lot of older people don't email and go on that then. So what we've done, we got quiz questions, information about what they can do, support information, and general chat on the doorstep to see how they're doing. And that's what we've been doing. And so far, it's gone great.
Brilliant stuff, this, I have to say, Graham. I mean, how many people are we talking about here who are receiving these lunches?
We started off with our first week, we've done about 24, and I think now we're up to over 40 in the last 3 weeks. And we keep on getting more requests from people who'd be interested in that. And what I've tried to ask people to say, can you make sure we target the right people and the people who would benefit the most? And in some cases, we've had people, you know, we had one older last week, brilliant. She said she's so pleased with it. She gives a £10 donation. And we don't want any money. We do it all for free. And we've had other people who've said, you know, I've not seen anybody for 3 weeks. And somebody coming knocking on the door and just asking how they are is a real plus for them. So I think that, and the people we've had helping, you know, we've got one of the young players, Kieran Holsworth-Grove, who's been doing some coaching for us, and he said, I'll volunteer and help out. And it was great to have one of the young players coming along and really being, he's been great. The old women love him when he turns up, you know, they found out now we're in earpods or whatever and things like that, you know. And so I think that's been a real plus. And the other nice thing now is we've actually managed to get some support from the Liverpool Foundation, and they've just given us some funding towards it, which is great, which means we can really now, because we were using our own money, we can now really push on with it a bit more.
And I was going to say, I mean, it feels like it's as word gets out about this, because I'm increasingly staggered. I'm increasingly staggered by the challenge that a lot of communities are facing at the moment, because it's you've got yourselves there doing what you can in your local area, but it's not just football clubs. There's rugby league clubs doing this kind of thing as well, and it's so important. I mean, as word gets out, I mean, how much capacity have you got to deal with this?
Well, I think the great thing was we got money towards the community cafe from various sponsors like Sefton Council and the others, but it wasn't a lot, and it was something that was keeping us ticking along and going nicely. But all of a sudden, we said, come on, we've got some money, let's use that and take it out. But it's limited, and it's limited to what you can do. And what we've done now is this extra funding has allowed us to really, we can go for it. We can keep it going. We can even add a bit more to it, and we can add some more people to it now and push it a bit further. And we don't know how long this is going to last. And I think particularly for the elderly, I think we're probably looking at, not 3 or 4 weeks, but probably more like 6 to 10 weeks before they'll be starting to get the confidence to go outside.
That's the nice touch as well with regards to these lunches, the puzzles that are in there and the quizzes and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I've got one of our team who helps out. He went to Thailand and he's got stuck out there. So I've got him on the quizzes and the puzzles, and he's a great fella, and he's doing them over there and sending them over to us. And each week we get an update on our new quiz questions and what we can do to engage with the people. And it's a stick and plaster. We don't expect that we can do, there's people doing huge and magnificent things out there. But what we're doing, I think, as a club and as a community, we're trying to do our little bit to say, well, look, we're still here. We're going to knock on your door. We're going to say hello. We're going to say, is there anything we can do for you? And at the same token, it is a nice lunch and a nice little quiz for you to have a go with as well. And that's what we're just trying to do our little bit, really. And if we can continue that, then that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And we touched upon the cafe. Obviously, it's closed for obvious reasons. But as the community I'm of Marine, I mean, you were doing regular food bank collections anyway, weren't you? So you seems to be going in the right direction, even with this crisis that we've got at the moment.
Well, this is a worry to all clubs, isn't it? And to all clubs, and especially small clubs like ourselves. And across the whole of the leagues and across the whole of the country. And we've sort of we were going well working with schools. We were going well. We got our walking football off the ground. We've got our community walking group off the ground. And we've got lots of these initiatives all working, and everything's come to a stop. And really speaking, it's going to be building and picking up the pieces there. And what I will say is that this is really where we do need the support from the sports council, from the sponsors and from the backers, who can help small clubs like us to really hit the ground running. We had a really great support from the VRU, or it's called the VRP now, the Violence Reduction Unit or Partnership. And they were really supportive of where we were doing lots of work with adolescents and doing football coaching, and then on top of that, having tournaments. But we were having proper guest speakers in. We were talking about crime reduction and violence and knife crime. So really, I think that hopefully that when this starts to settle down, for many clubs like us, we need those supports and that sponsorship to keep us going and to hit the road running, really, for all those things. So we're hoping that we've had a great start, but we're going to have to pick the pieces up like many other clubs.
Graham Gardner there from Marine in the Community, and you can follow them on Twitter, that's at Community Marine, or visit the website marineinthecommunity.com. And speaking of superb stuff, let's go now to Bamber Bridge. They've announced that they'll be giving free season tickets to NHS staff for next season, a superb gesture from the Lancashire club. And for more on this, on Friday afternoon, I caught up with their chairman. Here's Brian Ginty.
It's something that I dreamt up between our first team manager and our director of football. And they thought it'd be such a good gesture. I got a phone call and I quickly sort of pulled most of our committee and got a good following wing. So we just went ahead and said, what a good idea. And let's do it. National Health staff will get on free next season.
Yeah, I mean, there's yourselves and Matlock, I think, who've done it at the moment. And I know there's some clubs who've offered free tickets for one-off games, but it's such a marvellous gesture. And when it comes to the club more generally, obviously at this time there's been problems with regards to generating income, because you know the club, clubs are in the same boat here across the country. There's no revenue coming in. So how's things at the moment at Bamber Bridge?
Well, we've absolutely zilch effectively revenue coming in because we're a small club. We have a very, very active social club, which is very active in the local community. We generate an awful lot of income through that, which goes forward to support our football. Clearly, we're not allowed to open. We can't have crowds. We've gained ourselves a good name in gigs. So we have regular band nights on, which we sell to capacity many often times. And clearly, we've just got our everything is just cut to the bone. So a couple of our people, great idea, decided we're crowdfunding.
And it's been a very good crowdfunding campaign, that's for sure, because at time of recording, you're just £135 away from generating £4,000. And the other thing we should say...
I think we're a little bit nearer than that now.
Oh, well, there we go. And there's the other thing we should say is who's been retweeting the appeal as well. I mean, it's clear that Bamber Bridge is important to its community, that's for sure.
It's been retweeted by lots and lots of people. But I think the real sort of... From my point of view, the real enlightening thing from all of this is that we've had committee, supporters, footballers, football management team, and we're all pulling together as one team. Whatever happens, we'll get through this crisis and we will come back and we'll be a stronger team and we'll be strong to be recognised with in the Northern Premier League. Hopefully we'll come through it stronger.
And leading that fight on the pitch will be Jamie Milligan. I know we've already touched upon him, but... I mean, he's been sensational, hasn't he, since coming back to the club as manager. I mean, he's been
Jamie and his team have done an absolutely tremendous job towards the end of last season. I think we're sure we could compete with anybody in that league. We didn't win them all, but we gave everybody a good run for their money. We were just starting to come good. Unfortunately, the season's curtailed short. Let's see what next season brings.
Imagine what it would be like with a pre-season under his belt.
Who knows what sort of pre-season we're going to get this year?
No, there is that question. I mean, let me ask you that question then. I mean, it's at the moment, you know, the fundraising that's going on. How important is that fundraising, not just for plugging the gap of not having any home matches over the last month or so, but also helping towards the uncertainty that we've got now, because we generally don't know when we're going to be back, that's not just football. That's ordinary life in general, isn't it?
In general, I mean, we'd be looking forward for starting next season. We'd normally kick off with a bumper game against Preston North End, our local club. Clearly, we don't know whether that will happen or not at this stage. We don't know what's happening with their league. We don't know whether the leagues will start. We don't know when they'll start. And we don't know whether they'll tie up and allow that to happen. There's a massive gap. And we need to do all we can to fill it. You'll see if people keep their eyes on our website, you'll see there are lots and lots of initiatives. The committee is working together tremendously to try and put different ideas and different things forward.
I mean, I was gonna mention the fact, you know, some other initiatives that the club's doing. I mean, you mentioned some of the gigs that you host in person normally. They've gone virtual, and that's a good way as well of
on the 3rd of May we've got an absolute great guy who comes and he's done things for us at the club. He does New Year's Eve for us, and he's done other gigs around our beer festival and other events we have on. And he's running a gig on Sunday. I think it's Sunday the 3rd at 4 o'clock. Please go and watch him. And anybody who wants to watch him, if they feel like donating, all donation will be gratefully accepted.
And that gig on the 3rd of May will be live on the Bamber Bridge Facebook page.
It'll be live on the Bamber Bridge Facebook page, that's correct.
Yeah. Just look for Bamber Bridge FC on Facebook, the lockdown sessions, which is obviously where we all are at the moment. I was going to say, Brian, I mean, it's difficult times, but from the sound of it, you know, the club's still trying to keep engaged with supporters, keeping active and that side of things. And with the NHS announcement, you know, there's a free season ticket, and that means we will have a season at some point, and that's what we've got to cling on to at the moment. I mean, Brian, what's your closing thoughts to a message to the Bamber Bridge faithful?
The Bamber Bridge faithful, it's a great big thank you for all that they're doing, particularly for supporting the crowdfunding. I'm really particularly really pleased that we're seeing donations coming in from all elements of the community. We've got businesses, we've got the management team, we've got players donating as well, as well as our fans and our and general club members. Our you know, football is second to them. They just come and use us as a social club. All I can say is keep up the good work. Let's all pull together, and hopefully we'll all come through this a lot stronger. And as I said before, we'll be forced to be reckoned with in the Northern Premier League next year.
Brian Ginty there, chairman of Bamber Bridge. And as we were discussing there, the Just Giving page is available as a pinned tweet on the Bamber Bridge Twitter feed. That's at Bamber Bridge FC. Let's go now from Lancashire to Lincolnshire. And sticking with fundraising, Gainsborough Trinity are collecting online donations for their club. And for every £75 raised, the club will be donating a ticket to the local Lincolnshire NHS Trust. Here is Chairman Richard Kane with more.
With what's going on in the current climate, you've got to think not only the football club but the NHS as well, because you know they're doing a sterling job out there for us, as all key workers, not just the NHS. But I mean that's the one at the forefront of everyone's mind at the moment, and you know we want to do our part in the community and show our support for the NHS. So we thought rather than just do a crowd fundraising effort for the football club, which is quite needed at the moment because we're not in a pretty place. We'd like to also do something back. So that's really the forethought with what we're doing.
I mean, I was gonna obviously the support for the NHS, it goes without saying. But the support for the club as well. I mean, how important is it for the club at the moment that these funds coming in? Because like you say, it's not ideal, this situation. Let's put it that way.
No, I think the biggest problem is that the league was just cut short. We didn't have any notification. You know, I mean, it is what it is now. It's done. But we just had our income stream cut off overnight. And like a lot of clubs, you know, you budget for a season. So you don't expect all of a sudden for your income to be turned off overnight. And we anticipated, we've got some big gates coming up. We've got FC United tomorrow, for example, you know, which in April you'd expect them to rock up with quite a few. And Gainsborough was quite well supported anyway. Our average gates have been over 600, certainly last season, and it probably would have been about that this season. So we want to really start with a clean sheet going into next season. So that was the reason behind the crowdfunding, to try to even get some support, get some people to sort of help us get over the line this season. And you know, then we've got a fresh start, look at the budget for next season, and we go again.
And obviously, I mean, we've had a few directs on and chairman from other clubs talking about this in recent weeks, because it's not just this season, is it? It's the planning for next season, as you rightly say, and it'd be good to get a date. And I know that's you know, far from everyone's mind at the moment, but for planning purposes, I mean, how crucial is a start date?
Oh, it's very important. I think the other problem is you know, there's still a lot of noise going on in the league. You know, I know South Shields, quite rightly, in my opinion, has put in legal letters in about the way that it was just determined and finished. So I'm still a bit, I think, I don't know what's going to happen with all that, if I'm quite honest. Because what if they all of a sudden say, right, you're going to have to start playing again in June. All our players are out of contract, and the ones that was on non-contract have gone and disappeared and everything else. So it's a nervous time, really, because I don't know what's really going to happen. But I mean, moving into next season, whatever happens, I think we're going to take a massive hit. I don't think it's just Gainsborough. I think the whole of non-league is going to take it. Sponsors, you know, it's going to be a massive thing. People actually paying as well, I think, might be a crucial thing. So I've got our manager, Curtis Woodhouse, on all the time asking, you know, what's the budget going to be for next year? And that's, I really don't know. I've got to get to May. I've got to start ringing around sponsors and saying, you know, what will you commit to something next year? Will you sponsor your board around the ground? Will you, you know, the usual stuff that we normally just take for granted. But, you know, I think Gainsborough in particular here, we're a well-run club. You know, everyone gets paid on time. Players always come because they know they're going to get paid, and I think that's something. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of clubs in worse situations than what we are at the moment. So my view on next season is that, you know, we just try and put together something, get a budget going, whatever that is, and keep within our means, consolidate and just see where we are at the end of next season, going into the season following on from that. So, you know, that's our take at the moment. That's where we're going.
And we should say, you mentioned Curtis there. A big happy birthday to Curtis. He was quite transformative, I'm going to suggest, to your season that's just gone. And how much are you looking forward to what he can do with a pre-season under his belt?
Well, again, you know, the COVID-19 thing's just took the wind out of everything, really, because we was looking, you know, in January, February, we consolidated, we weren't going up, we weren't going down. I think everyone, you know, was on a good run of form, of course, but, you know, chances of playoffs, I think, mathematically could have done it, but realistically, probably not. So we was gearing up, and I was saying to him, I was saying to him in sort of January, February, right, let's have a right crack, because I believe that, you know, we're a Conference North club. We're set up for Conference North. That's where we was and had been for all them years. And we only got relegated once in 142 years. And as a chairman, who wants that on the CV? So, you know, at some point, I've really got to look at trying to get us back into Conference North. So we was going to have a crack at it this next season, but financially, it's not going to happen. You know, I think the club's... What we do at Gainsborough, we try to keep it sustainable. If something happens to me tomorrow, you know, it shouldn't be relying on my money or me to make it financially viable. It's got to be able to stand on its own two feet because you never know what's around the corner. So that's the way we've always set Gainsborough Trinity up. So I'm now thinking that sponsors are going to drop off. So, you know, the budget's going to be accordingly. And let's just see where we're going the next 12 months on a limited budget. But, you know, he might do his magic, you know. Let's just see what happens. He likes a challenge. He's always been up for a challenge, whether or not it's football or boxing. You know, the guy's always up for it. So we'll just wait and see where we go next year.
And finally then, Richard, just your message to the Gainsborough faithful, really. I mean, I think you just got over the £4,000 barrier for that crowdfunder. So what's your message to the Trinity faithful heading to this break?
Just brilliant, really. I mean, thanks ever so much, everyone that's donated. I got a message last night from a fan, and he doesn't want to be named, but he's dropping £5,000 into it at some point in the next 24 hours, which is massive. You know, he likes the club, he likes what we do at the club, he likes the idea of how we run it, and he comes to a lot of the games home and away, and he contacted me last night saying, you know, he wants to help out, and he's got £5,000 that he's going to throw our way. So, you know, that nearly makes us hit the target. And then there's been a couple of checks that have come in as well from, we've got quite a lot of older supporters that don't go on social media. I've had a couple of letters off them with checks in the post as well. So I would suspect in the next sort of 10 days we'll be up to that and over that 10,000 mark, particularly with this 5,000 donation, which is fantastic.
Richard Kane there, chairman of Gainsborough Trinity, joining us here on the NPL show. And for the links to the fundraising pages of Gainsborough Trinity, you can visit their Twitter feed. That's at Gains Trinity FC. That's nearly it for this week's NPL show. But just before we go, virtual football matches have literally taken off since the suspension of the season. But Trafford FC have come up with a genius way of covering a match in virtual form, and that's to bring back old school Sabutio. And for more on this, on Friday afternoon, I caught up with the secretary at the Trafford FC Supporters Club. Here's Pete McGrath.
Well, it came about, as you say, a lot of clubs are running virtual matches at the moment, and the idea is, of course, that had all these games been on, we would have been at the grounds and we would have been spending money at the turnstiles, buying pies, buying pints and all the rest of it. So the money that you've saved, if you can donate a little bit to your local club, that would be fantastic. And we just thought that, you know, running this kind of thing, we need something to make it a little bit more fun. And what we tried to do, we were supposed to play Droylsden on Bank Holiday Monday at home. We tried to get a couple of the players from each team to play each other online on FIFA. We got a Trafford player, but we couldn't get hold of anyone from Droylsden, and it was all a bit last minute. So we just decided to get the Sabutio out, and we staged the game on Sabutio, filmed bits of it, and put the clips up on Twitter for people to have a laugh at and comment about. And it was just a bit of fun, really. And yeah, it was a good laugh.
I'm going to suggest, though, based on the footage that I've seen, it's not proper Sabutio you're playing, though, is it? There's no flicking involved or anything.
Sabutio purists would probably kill us for what we did. Yeah, but you want to see some of the outtakes that didn't get released?
we'll wait and see how the fundraising goes, because that'd be a good way of generating money. I'm going to suggest seeing that. Speaking of the fundraising, I mean, how the virtual matches has been a very clever way of raising funds for clubs. So how much was raised on this occasion?
Well, for this one, we raised 400 quid. We got just short of 400 quid. I think we were 11 quid short, and then somebody chucked 11 quid in to take it up to 400 quid. So it was worthwhile. I mean, it's obviously not the amount of income you'd get on a proper match day, but, you know, it's money that is very much required at the moment for the club, and I think every other club's in the same boat, aren't they?
Yeah, unfortunately that's the case. I mean, we'll get to promoting the next virtual match in a second or two, because that's taking place on Saturday, and it's another derby, everyone. So we'll plug that in a second. Just to talk about Trafford and you know how things are shaping up. I mean, there was some good news last week in the guise of the planning for the new stand and that side of things. I mean, Shoreview's a cracking venue. That's just going to take it up a level or two, isn't it?
Yeah, we hope so. I mean, you know, the supporters club at Trafford's been very active for quite a number of years, you know, going back to probably about 10, 12 years ago when it first really kicked off. A guy called Andrew Semple was instrumental behind it. He's no longer with us, God rest his soul, but he still inspires us. And I mean, you've obviously been to Shoreview, lovely little stadium. Three sides of it have got stands. It's got its own character, but what one end of the stadium just has a grass bank, and we've recently been banned from going on the grass banks because they can be a little bit slippy. It's not ideal, so they've been cordoned off. But we've had plans to try and sort of complete the ground, if you like, by putting a fourth stand in position at that end of the ground for a couple of years, been raising money, put in an application for a grant from Manchester FA, and we were successful. We got a couple of grand off them. We've raised about a similar amount ourselves through various fundraising initiatives over the past 18 months or so. So the plan was to get cracking on that this summer. But obviously with this virus lockdown, etc., we're not quite sure whether that's going to happen yet. But it definitely will happen, if not this summer, certainly next summer.
And what's this going to mean for the club? I mean, it's just another step in the progression, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You know, like I say, it kind of completes the ground. I mean, we like, as a group of fans, everyone has their own way of watching the game, but there's quite a few of us who love to get behind the goal and support the team, sing songs and all the rest of it. It's not quite as easy at that other end of the ground where there isn't a stand to do that, so it'll improve that. I mean, the other big thing for us, we see ourselves as a community club. We are very active in the community. After the season finishes in April, we always have our own junior tournament. Local leagues have finals there. There's hundreds and probably thousands of kids and families coming through. We split the pitch in two, play the finals across. It's going to be a lot better for them watching the kids playing football on the Shoreview pitch as well, when we have a stand on what will be that side of the ground then. So it's a win-win, as they say, in all respects, really, for the club.
Yes, I was going to say, though, it's just a shame that this has all happened, because, you know, that it would be great when the season kicks off to have that stand there. But like you say, it will happen. So that's cracking stuff. And something else that's going to happen is the Mosley virtual match, which is taking place. I don't want you to give too much away, but is it going to be Sabutio-based again, or...?
Not sure, because we broke quite a few of the players messing around with them last Monday. They're very fragile, as you probably know. We're currently mulling over a couple of ideas for it. But, yeah, obviously, tomorrow we would have been at home to Mosley, kick off 3 p.m. We're going to run the virtual match day thing again with the virtual price list. We'll see what we can get from it, and we'll see what little bit of fun we can release on Twitter throughout the afternoon as well.
And how can people donate money to this as well and that side of things?
Yeah, well, the links will be on Twitter. The club's Twitter handle is at FC Trafford. We've also got the supporters club run their own Twitter as well, which the whatever we're doing, the clips or whatever it might be, will be on there. There'll be information with the bank details where people can donate. And I mean, look, you know, we're not, you can't force people to donate. We're not urging people to donate. You can join in, you can watch and have a little bit of fun like we did last Monday, and it doesn't cost a thing. But, you know, clubs like Trafford and clubs all over non-league need a little bit of cash to keep them ticking over at the moment. And any spare pennies that you've got, if you can donate them via the link, that would be fantastic.
Pete McGrath there from the Trafford FC Supporters Club. And that's it for this week's NPL show. We'll be back next week, but you all have a lovely weekend. Stay safe. And you'll be hearing from us soon. Take care. Bye-bye.